Over 8 sermons, we have studied the nature of gospel worship. I hope now we all understand what worship is. So if someone was to ask you, what is worship? You would be able to give a biblical and clear definition. We defined worship as thus. Worship is the spiritual honouring of the triune God through Jesus Christ, whereby the Christian enters the special presence of God in order to glorify Him by admiring, adoring, blessing, and praising Him with heart-wrought faith in reverence, love, and joy. This is worship. And this ought to be our experience every week, every worship service. Yet Christian experience tells us this is not always the case. There are times when this is us, we know and we experience as we praise the triune God in all His glory, and our hearts are aflame in admiring Him. But due to indwelling sin and Satan, our worship may be not this, but distant, distracted, cold. Why is it practically that our worship can be distant, distracted, and cold? Well, there are many reasons why. There's not one. But one reason, and one main reason why, is because we are not prepared for worship. We stay up late, sleep in, we get washed, dressed, eat our breakfast, get in the car, come here, and we're not prepared. And therefore, as we pray, praise, read, and hear, we're distracted. We're distant. And our hearts are cold. And so if practically we desire to worship as we ought to worship, then it is fundamental, necessary, that we are prepared before we come to worship. And this is the theme of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 5:1. This chapter is speaking of worship. And in verse 1, it speaks of the house of God. The place where God comes and meets His people in worship. For Solomon, that would of course be the physical temple at Jerusalem. But for us in the New Testament, it is when the people of God gather together and call on the name of the triune God. As we come to the house of God, Solomon says we are to keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. What does it mean we're to keep our foot? Well, we have a similar saying today. Watch your step. Watch where you're going. And what we mean by that is the exact same meaning of Solomon. When you watch your step, watch where you're going, where you keep your foot, you're being attentive, diligent, careful, considerate, circumspect. The opposite would be rash, careless, casual, informal. And so Solomon is very clearly saying here, when you come to the house of God, when you're coming to worship, be diligent, full of care, attentive, serious, circumspect. When you come to worship, do not come careless, informal, casual. Why? Why is it when we come to worship every week, we need to watch our step, keep our foot, be diligent, attentive, circumspect? For two reasons. One, for the glory of God. And two, for the good of our souls. First of all, the glory of God. Where are we coming to in worship? The house of God. This is what this is now. We gathering here, the house of God. The other saints in this city, when they're gathering in their churches this morning, this is where they're gathering, the house of God. What is the house of God? The house of God is where the triune God especially dwells in his glory, to commune and meet with his people, to receive worship. That's the Bible's emphasis about the special nature of worship. We've read time and time again of Jacob's words in Genesis 28, 17. His experience of the house of God. How dreadful, how awesome is this place. This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. That's what it says now. In the New Testament, the writer to the Hebrews, he expounds what's happening in worship. Hebrews 12, 22. Ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. That's right here. That's right now. The house of God. Do you believe this? I'm not asking, is it a theological truth that you accept? I'm asking, do you believe this? Do you believe this is the truth of every Lord's Day and every worship service? The house of God, the gate of heaven, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. If you truly do believe this, then you will not come in a careless, informal, casual, unprepared state to the worship of God. But rather, you will seek to come in a diligent, careful state before God. You see, in life, we do not prepare for things that are not that important. But when things are important, we diligently prepare. Think of food. You could be driving out in your car and you fancy a wee snack. You don't put much preparation into it. You just go somewhere and you buy it. But there's someone important, someone precious to you. They're coming over for a meal on a Friday night. Oh, how you prepare. You take the time, the energy to prepare a meal for an important guest. You're going on vacation. You prepare. You make sure that you're packed the night before. You make sure if you're going abroad, that passport's in the bag. You don't want to be going to that airport. Passport's not there. Now you have to go home and risk missing your flight. What if you were to be invited to the White House to meet the president? You would be prepared. You make sure that your suit's nice and pressed or your dress is nice and clean. You make sure you're there early. You don't want to be late for the president. You make sure you know the protocol, the schedule. You're going to meet an important person. In normal life, we prepare for normal things. How much more to meet the triune God of glory? If we really, really believe that worship is the house of God, where He dwells and meets us in grace, we will prepare for His glory. He's not common. He's not ordinary. He's not like the things of this world, but rather He is the one unique, worthy God. Therefore, we prepare. Look at verse 2. It reminds us of this. God is in heaven. You are on earth. He's majestic. He's creator. He's the governor. He's your savior. You're a creature, a servant. You prepare for worship. Who is it we worship in our worship? Hebrews 12:29. Our God is a consuming fire. Therefore, for the glory of God, we keep our foot when we come to worship. We watch our step. We're diligent, considerate, careful, prepared for the glory of God. Secondly, it is important that we prepare for our own good. We who are Christians, we who are born again, we have a most heavenly reality. Not merely corporately, but individually, we are temples of the living God. Who can fathom such things? God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us. He has opened our eyes to the things of God. He's placed love in our souls for the Savior. He works in us both to will and to do. And that includes a desire for the worship of God. But we know, while His indwelling presence is true, it is also true that we are able to grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. And when we do grieve and quench the Holy Spirit, God withholds His presence. God withholds His blessing. Why is it there are times we get nothing out of the worship service? We pray, and yet we're distracted. Our thoughts are everywhere. They turn to certain tasks during the week, or certain subjects, or themes, or hobbies. Amen, the congregation says, and nothing. Then you sing. You can sing psalms of beauty and elegance. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The calmness of the rivers He takes us to. How even in the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And yet we're cold as the Antarctic. It does nothing for us. The Word of God is read. God Himself audibly speaking to us in the reading of His Word. Nothing. And in the sermon, the minister expounds the truth of the Word. There's examples, there's illustrations, there's corrective, there's exhortation, there's encouragements, there's application, and nothing. And we walk away from church unmoved, unchanged. Why? Well, many reasons why. There's not just one, but one main reason could be unprepared, not ready. But we should know when we are prepared, when we are ready, when we're given due diligence even before coming to the house of God, and then when we pray. There might be temptation, there might be distractions, but you're wrestling. And the words of the prayers go up to heaven, and your heart is aflame in fellowship with God. You sing the psalm and you're so focused and your faith is active on the word. You know the truth of God. Thou doest good. And then you read the word and there's something, it jumps out of you, out of the page. It grips your imagination. It grips your soul. You're stirred. And then the preaching of God's word. You're not hearing a man. You're looking through the man, and God is dealing with you. He's rebuking you, correcting you, encouraging you, building you up, and you see the gospel and your salvation and your justification and your communion with the Savior, and you finish, and you're like, did you hear what God has done for me? Have you seen the graciousness of my Lord? Have you seen His precious promises? Because you prepared and you were ready. And so, it is important for the good of our own souls that we prepare for worship. And this is why time and again in the Bible, you'll see the people of God preparing, sanctifying themselves before worship. And when they don't, they're rebuked. For example, 2 Chronicles 12 speaks of Rehoboam. And it says he did evil in the sight of God. Why did he do evil in the sight of God? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He treated God like a common, ordinary thing. You want something to eat, you just grab something to eat, not much preparation. And so it was evil in the sight of God, not preparing for his worship. But time and again, the people of God are extolled for preparing. Exodus 19. The people in 3 days' time are about to meet their Redeemer. And it says they prepared their hearts. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5. David says, peaceably I am coming to sacrifice unto the Lord. We're going to worship. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Don't just come to the sacrifice with me. Don't just come to worship with me. First of all, sanctify yourselves. Prepare yourselves. Then, let's go to the house of God. This is why in the history of the church, in our own directory of public worship, in Westminster's Directory of Public Worship, it says, before we worship, there should be a due preparation of the heart. For the glory of God, first and foremost, and secondly, for our own good. So what does it mean then exactly for us to prepare for worship? This is what it means. Preparation for worship is to set apart the triune God in our hearts as infinitely glorious. It is to consciously esteem Him as our greatest worth, which results in faith seeking after God in love, joy, and reverential awe. I'll read that again. Preparation for worship is to set apart the triune God in our hearts as infinitely glorious. It is to consciously esteem Him as our greatest worth, which results in faith seeking after God in love, joy, and reverential awe. This should be our experience every Sabbath morning before worship. Before worship. So that we come in this preparation unto worship. I believe this is the biblical understanding of what it means to prepare. Leviticus 10 verse 3, God is going to describe the nature of his worship and what he wills and demands of his people. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. When you come and approach me in worship, I will be set apart as special, distinct. And because I am special in your sight, you will glorify me. And this is consistent with what the text is here saying. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear. These two words, more ready, this is what it literally means in the Hebrew. To draw nigh with the heart. So a literal Hebrew translation would be, how do we keep our foot in the house of God? We draw nigh with our heart to hear. We don't just come with ears that audibly hear. We come with a heart, a soul that's thirsting for God to hear him. He's here. He's present. He's going to speak to me. He's going to speak to me of glory and splendor and majesty, of the gospel of grace, of mercy, of kindness, of love. And therefore my heart is ready and willing and longing for God. That's what it means to be prepared for the worship of God. Was that you this morning? Before you entered this room, was this your experience? As you got up this morning and you did whatever you had to do this morning, by the time you left your home and got in your car, was this your heart? If not, you're not prepared for worship. If it is, that's being prepared for worship. Now, as sinners, we all confess there are weeks when we're prepared for worship. And there are other weeks when we're not prepared for worship. What we need to do by God's sovereign grace and Christ's strength is consistency. Every single week, this should be our prepared heart before coming in here. Because if we're not prepared like this, we're functionally saying, we're not mindfully saying, we're not saying it with our minds, but functionally saying, God's just like anything else during the week. You can just turn up. You can just roll out of bed and turn up. That's practically what we're saying. Now, we would be aghast to ever think that, but practically that's what we're saying. But when we do prepare, this is what we're saying. God is infinitely glorious in my sight. His gospel, his Christ, his salvation is of infinite value to me. I so love him that I just want to adore him. And so I want my God when I come to this worship service. That's what it means. How then do we prepare our hearts before worship? First of all, This is what we do before worship in our homes, just to clarify. This is what we do in the morning. We consider the blessedness of worship. Starts with your mind. Think in your mind the blessedness of worshiping God. Psalm 73, verse 28, Asaph says, "It is good for me that I draw near to God." That's what you do. In your mind, you're considering the excellency of what you're about to do. It's not common. It's not ordinary. It's special. Every week. And why is it good for you to come to worship? Psalm 115:1, "Not unto us, Lord, not unto us. To God alone be the glory." That I recognize who I am, I recognize who you are, and I am going to give you my best. Not half-heartedness, not the dregs, but my very best. We're going to hear God. It is good that I hear God. I'm a sinner who has sinned this week. And He, in His mercy, has washed me in Jesus Christ. I'm ready to hear Your gospel again, Lord. I'm a believer going through difficult and challenging providences. I need help. I need comfort. I need the strength of God. I'm coming to the house of God because there He's more powerfully present and I will hear His words of consolation. In the Old Testament, the altar had four horns. You came to those horns for refuge. That's why in the Bible it speaks of God as our horn, the horn of our salvation. Because when we come to God, He is our refuge and our strength. And so the mind says, it is good for me to draw near to God because I need His help, His comfort, His presence, His strength. Not that you can't have it at home. You can and you do. But there's a particular special promise of it in the gathering of the saints. So this is what we do. Secondly, we need to tune our hearts to God. When you've got a radio station and you can put it to a certain frequency, you can sort of hear what they're saying, but you can't. They're static. There's noise, there's interference. And so you mess about with the tuner until it's exactly on frequency and you can hear with clarity the radio station. That's what we need to do before worship. Our hearts are like the tuner of a radio. We need to take away the interference, take away the static and put right in the frequency of God. There's a great line of this in the hymn, "Come Thou Fountain." It says, "Come Thou Fount of early blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace." That's what we need. Our hearts tuned to sing the grace of God. What we need in our hearts is Psalm 57, verse 7. "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people." That's where we want to be. We must first and foremost know this. Our hearts are not naturally tuned to God's frequency. I'm not speaking about unbelievers dead here. I'm speaking about believers even. Because of indwelling sin, our hearts are not naturally in tune to God's frequency. Think of Matthew 13. Think of the need to break up the fallow ground to seek the Lord. Distractions, hindrances, lawful things in our minds. And rather than place them to the side, coming on the Sabbath and focusing entirely of God, because of these things that are in our minds. We're distracted in worship because we need to do this, that, and the other. There are duties, responsibilities, lawful hobbies, and they're present in our mind all day, and we're out of sync. We're out of the wrong frequency of God, so we're distracted, we're distant, and we're away from God. Before we come to worship, we need to tune our hearts to the right frequency. We need to have our mind on God, our affections on God, our will on God. We need to think of all the good, lawful things we have in our minds and put them aside. If you want something practical, put all your duties on a list, put them there on a Saturday night, they'll remain there till Monday morning, leave them till Monday. If you have something really pressing on your heart, you just can't get rid of, give it to God. God, this is important, but it's distracting me from worship. My mind is constantly thinking about this thing. My heart is causing me to be anxious about this, and I am not seeking your face. I lay it all up to you. I'm putting it before you. You keep it. You deal with it, Lord. You're the God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. You're the God who keeps your people. I'm giving it all up to you. Leave it with God. And then go with your heart and your mind and your will prepared and fixed on God. Thirdly, our faith needs to be exercised on God. Before you go to the gym or in the gym, before you get any real running or real weights going, you must warm up. If you're playing any sports, if you don't warm up, there's going to be an injury or two. You warm up. So you need to warm up your faith. Get it active. Get it exercising, because you can be a real, genuine, born-again believer come and not worship. Worship's a verb, an active verb, and you can be a genuine believer who's passively engaging in worship. Therefore, you need your faith active and exercised. You have it on God's glory. Read the Bible passages that describe God and His glory. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Have your faith reading love. We have been loved with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. Have your faith on God's faithfulness. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Have your faith on the triune God. You are worshiping the Father through the Son by the Spirit. Have your faith on the order of the Trinity, on the Father's work, the Son's work, the Spirit's work, and as we saw 2 weeks ago, the right order of approach. Have your faith on the gospel. What a sinner you are. What corruptions are in your heart. What transgression and law-breaking you've committed that week. And then the free grace of God and the Saviour. That your sins are like a handwriting of order, and it says, all written down, thought, word, and deed. And then Christ on that cross nailed it. And he wiped it clean with his blood. And God says, I will remember your sins no more. Because when your faith is on that, you'll believe it. And then you want to come here and you really do want to worship. You really do want to give thanks. You really do want to bless him. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. Bless thou, my soul, and not forgetful be of all his gracious benefits he hath bestowed on me. Fourthly, stir your affections on God. This starts with the facts, the truth, the objective, the faith in God. But then you'll say with the psalmist, I love the Lord my God. And then your joy will come. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Are you joyful when you come into this house? Sometimes our psalm singing doesn't sound anything joyful. It often does. Don't get me wrong, it often does. But too often it doesn't come across that way. It's either too slow or half-hearted. Because when we as a congregation truly put our soul into praising God, oh, how it's stirring. You're in it. You're engaged in the Word. You're engaged in the truth. And you're singing with joy. But too often, I have to confess, it's not like that. If it's to do with the temple, that's to present us, speed it up. But if it's to do with our engagement, be engaged. Why are we not engaged? Maybe we're not prepared. We're not prepared. And we need to be prepared by having the joy of salvation in our hearts. So when we come, we're just gasping at the bit to sing the psalms. I can't wait for congregational worship so I can praise the God of my salvation. Stir your affections of love and joy, but also fear. Psalm 5, verse 7. As for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Reverence and awe. Can you truly say, when I come and worship, I am full of awe at the glory and splendor of God. Before we come to the house of God in our own homes, we should be at awe. He is God. He is glorious. And I am coming to worship him. Fifthly, the will. We should be biting at the bit, longing to get in this house to worship. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Is this you in the morning? Well, you just get out of the bed, sort of, we've got worship today at 10, just come. Oh, are you thirsting and longing for God? This is preparation. And now I want to speak of the practice of preparation. This all starts during the week. Our ordinary private family devotions. You don't just turn up on a Sunday spiritual. Doesn't happen. It's because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're in the Word. You're in prayer. Every day you're gathering the family for worship. And therefore, every day you're in a worshipful spirit. In the Old Testament, the fire on the altar was never to go out. Day and night it was to be kindled and aflame. Make that your preparation. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You're kindling the flame in your own word, in your own prayer, in your own family worship. So that when you flow into the Sabbath, you're basically doing what you're doing every day. You love Him every day. You rejoice in Him every day. You're thanking Him every day. You're praising Him every day. And therefore, it's spilling over into corporate worship and glory. The second practice is the Saturday evening. The Saturday evening. Where on Saturday evening, you put aside all your worldly cares and business and leave it. And you start to have your focus on the things of God. A good practice is evening family worship. So let's say you have your dinner 6-7 o'clock. Then after your dinner, have family worship. That's the cut-off point. Beyond family worship, no more worldly things. I'm going to fill my soul with the things of God so that I'm prepared for the Sabbath day. Because if you don't, you know this. What you go to bed with are the thoughts of your mind as you wake up. I know that for myself. Therefore, a good practice is after family worship, give yourself to prayer and word. Read a good book. Listen to a sermon. But give yourself to the things of God. And pray Saturday evening, privately and in family worship, for the power of the Holy Spirit. That God would dwell in our midst. That we would know and have His presence. Pray for the minister that he would have liberty and enlightenment and he would come in power. Pray for conversions that God that very Sabbath would convert unconverted people. Pray for the saints that they would grow in faith, grow in holiness, be sanctified. Pray, pray, and pray. And have a good night's sleep. Get to bed at a decent time. And then wake up at a decent time. And then again in the morning, have your heart fixed on God. A good thing to do is sing your psalms. I always remember this from Robert Murray McShane. He's speaking about private devotions every day. He says, when you wake up, you know, you're a wee bit tired, we're a wee bit sluggish, we're all that. Well, maybe not all, but some of us are. Some of us need a nice cup of coffee to wake up or something. But he says the best way to really spiritually wake up is song. Song. Take a psalm and sing a song to God. Because when we sing, it stirs our hearts. It stirs our affections. And it wakens and warms us up. Do that every day, but also do it maybe on a Sabbath morning, privately yourself, get out a psalter or family worship, and sing a joyous song to the Lord, and it will waken you up. And then through prayer, through word, before you leave your home, your mind is engaged, your affections are engaged, your will is engaged, your faith is active and exercised, and you are ready for worship. And when you come to worship, come in a decent time, sit, compose your mind, and as soon as the very first psalm is given, you give your all to the praise of God. That's preparation for worship. This is what I need to do personally. This is what we all need to do personally. And do you know what happens when we do such a thing? God is so blessed, He pours out His blessings. It's to the hungry and the thirsty who are filled with righteousness. It's to those with mouths wide open He fills. So when we come hungering and thirsting and open mouths, He will abundantly meet with you and bless you. Isaiah 44:3, the promise, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. So when you're prepared, you're hungry, you're thirsty, your mouth wide open, come, and he will fill it abundantly. Let us pray. Our Lord God, thou art worthy of our whole being in worship. And we do confess our sin, and we do confess our weakness. There are times when we do not come prepared. We're distracted. We're distant and we're cold. We pray thy forgiveness. But we know thou art our Father, loving, kind, so patient. We pray for thy Spirit to help us to be able and willing to prepare. But Lord, we pray that we would be excited by preparation, because it is in the Word. It's in prayer. It's discovering the glory of God. Help us every week, morning and evening, to be so at awe at thy majesty that we would say, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so we panteth after our God. In the Saviour's name we pray.